and the learners will learn. The next section of the Gemara begins the discussion of Yeyush. What we're doing today is really just sort of a tangent, relevant because the Gemara discusses it, but not central to the topic of Yeyush. I also want to give you a chance to start to look at those Tosafim on the bottom, really three Tosafim, particularly the last two, should be read very, 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 very carefully. You need to do the first one of the three also. It's actually a very long footnote in the Ravid. Clearly, the Reform Rabbi knew a bit of Torah on the topic of Yeyush and Hefker, and he actually has some comments there. He's in the Sivas about it, actually, which come very close to some things that we suggested on our own earlier about the idea of Shinoi being Mafkia, Mirshas Balim, but not bringing it to the Rishas Ganav yet. That was an issue that possibly raised, which is something that's going to come up in the context of Yeyush. It's very interesting, very interesting concepts. But in the, for the moment, at least initially, and at least initially today, I wanted to talk about Reishis Hages. Not so much about Reishis Hages, but as it pertains to our sugya. I did ask you to learn the Mishnah there. Some of you might have been wondering why I put the entire Mishnah in Chulin on the Maor Mekomos, and the answer is because otherwise you'll probably never learn Perek Reishis Hages in the Mishnayos. It's a fairly good problem for many of you, so this was just an opportunity to slip in a very brief parak while you were there, just to get to that line, so you know a little bit about Reishis Hages. So, anyway, the Torah does say, Reishis Degancha V'sirashcha V'yitzarecha Reishis Geis Tzoncha Titen Lo. I don't think I left down there. Yes. There is an obligation to give the Kohen from the first of the sharings, Ben?
Yeah, the Mishnah says, Bifnei Habayis v'shelo Bifnei Habayis. Does that mean that Reishit Hages should apply today and Kohanim should be getting wool?
You noticed that Kohanim, Kohen Dorish Mikras Ela Atzma, right?
Absolutely.
These Kohanim never let go.
I was just trying to read the Mishnah.
So, you should know that in Eretz Yisrael, there is a Tana, dissenting Tana. So, Bali Karian today, generally speaking, don't go to the Mikvah. Maybe Hasidim do, but non-Hasidim don't go to the Mikvah. It's about Karian in order to do Kriya Shema Tefillah. Why not? Because the Gemara Brachos...
Because Ezra made it something you couldn't stand with?
No, the Gemara Brachos, I think Daf Chaf Beis, states... Nahu Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who's the fourth generation Amor of Bavel, Nahu Galmo Kahani Klasave, Krabi Loi Birosh Reishis Hages, Krabi Yoshia Bekilaim, Krabi Yehuda Ben Beser Bedevrei Torah. Krabi Loi Birishis Hages, Detanya Rav Loi Omer Reishis Hages, Eno Noeg Ela Ba'aretz. So at least in terms of Chutz La'aretz.
What is that? First of all, that's the first line of the Mishnah.
What's that?
Noheg Hages.
Ba'aretz or Chutz La'aretz. So but, basically, but, for you, Ben, you don't get any Reishis Hages because the Velt holds like Rabbi Loi that Reishis Hages is only Noheg in Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael will be moving to Israel soon.
So when you move to Eretz Yisrael, it's a separate question.
I was asking about the Kohen.
So the answer is because you're only a Kohen Muchzak, you're not a Kohen Miyuchas. That's what they say.
Muchzak De'oraita.
It's a very Shvacha argument. Rosh Hashanah spoke about this.
You wouldn't be happy if I looked like said it looks like you have Taras, would you?
Ooh.
I don't mean that you do.
What?
That, like, the...
Do you know... Actually, no, Ben. Do you know Mishnayos Negayim? So I wouldn't care if you say to me. Okay, anyway. So bottom line is, it's a good question as to why in Eretz Yisrael they don't give Zerol Chaim and Keva. And
some people do.
Not too many. But then Rabbi Shechter recited Sinshir, then he commented Rabbi Tendler has a son-in-law, yeah. Rabbi Rappaport, who claims to be a Kohen Miuchas. Now, I personally don't believe it, because I don't know how anybody can claim to be a Kohen Miuchas. But nonetheless, so everybody should be giving their matanas to Rabbi Rappaport. There you go. I don't know, maybe he doesn't own a frat. I don't know.
So what you're saying is, that all the things that Kohanim do nowadays don't really matter at all anyway, so therefore it doesn't matter if they're
something
Kohanim
like
Yuchas.
That.
Like if they get an aliyah, so that's just a random kavod anyway, they shouldn't really go to them.
No,
they should really
not,
go to the greatest
it,
scholar.
Anyway. Okay.
The biggest thing is
Birkat
Kohanim.
Greatest tzaddik.
That, you know.
There is a tradition of having having Yisrael go up and join them. There actually is such a in some, I don't remember. But anyway,
there's this rabbi that says, stop
pushing your privileges. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Anyway,
wait. So is it bracha levatala when I go up and say Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvotav?
That's your problem. No.
Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvotav. My problem.
No, as I told you, I think that Kohanim Chazaka are Midaraisa Kohanim.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a chal, but when it comes to Mamanos, I'm Motzi Mecharel Haraya.
Well, okay, but Chataf.
What's that? A Chataf's a different Shaila. We're not talking about a Chataf. Okay, so you can go around grabbing people's Surah Chaim Cave, and probably by the time you grab the third set, they'll throw you in jail. That's fine. Okay, and you won't be Chotef anymore. So anyway.
You belong to them.
That gives a new expression to Takvo Kohen. All right. Anyway, so now the Gemara says as follows. Who would like to read for me? Bernstein. Amar Rabba on the Samach Vav Amar Aleph. It's just the Gemara.
He's reading off his computer.
I highly recommend having a Gemara. It may just be a personal affinity, because I thought, as much as I use technology and use computers extensively, including in learning purposes, the notion of not having a flesh and blood Gemara in front of me, I find disturbing. If it doesn't disturb you, Sammy, it's not a theological statement, it's not an ex-cathedra statement, it's just a personal observation. If you like it, so that's fine with me. I just...
it happens that there's
but you
no
gotta have it in front
on this
of you.
Gemara Chulin on the sheet.
What's that? I didn't put the Bava Kama, yes. Anyway, so the Gemara says... I'm a rabba. Samaf of Manalf, excuse me. I'm a rabba. I'm a rabba Shinu Kone. Daniel, you have it? Good. Shiva Tanina. Okay. Now, the pasuk obviously is one of the two makaros for Shinu Kone. For those of you wondering about what Tosos's chiddush was about the two makaros of Shinui, number one, you have Agam Shnehem. Heim v'lo shiniyehem, and two was Sher Gazal Kein Sher Gazal, and Tosus asserts that everybody agree, that one of them is for Shinoi She'eino Chozer L'Briyasa, and that everyone subscribes to, and the other one is for Shinoi HaChozer L'Briyasa, which not everyone subscribes to. So anyway, now, did anybody look up all the other occurrences of this drasha? The Masoros HaShas was kind enough to provide you. So you will. I'm not going to talk about that. You go look up. Make sure you look up all the parallels. nothing going to be earth-shattering, but at least we'll tell you a little bit. Fine. So that's the Pasuk. Now, he doesn't, by the way, quote the other Pasuk, which is somewhat interesting. All right, then... What does that mean?
You don't have to give back the thing itself.
What did he steal?
Raw material.
Okay. And he so he, what is Eitzim? If you make wood into a chair, is that a Shinui HaChozer L'Briyasa or a HaChozer L'Briyasa?
Depends what you do to the wood.
Depends what you do to the wood. It's an important point. See, just cutting, we discussed this a little bit, cutting wood down to size may not be called Shino, even if it's not Chosel Briyasa. That was that strange Gemara later on Sadi, whatever, which says that if you cut down a Dekel, it's still called a Dekel, and therefore it's not Kona. Strange as it sounds. And okay, so that is one marker. Now the Gemara says... Now this... The Gemara is a little bit strange. Why is it a little bit strange? Okay. Yeah, and why is it? The question is, what was unsatisfactory about the first pasuk that it felt necessary, the first Mishnah, that it felt necessary to quote the second Mishnah. The Rishonim don't address this question, but it's a little bit striking. Chaim?
I mean, as a methodology question, does Imam necessarily mean that there was a problem with the first one? With the first source?
I can't tell you systematically whether it does, but you do want to ask the question, why does it bother to quote two sources? Normally, you would expect, and the first one, by the way, is the source we expect to quote. Right? That's the source that everybody knows, that Kala Gazlana Mishalman Kishasa Gazela. So the question of why they turn to Tzva'o is a little bit odd. Now, in light of Tosa's comment, one might, and being aware of the sugya later, although it's a double-edged sword, because the discussion of Reishis Hagez being dyed is also discussed there, and there are two ways to dye things, right? How do you dye things? Permanently or not permanently, right? In other words, is it a tseva overis or not? The Gemara later makes reference to a substance called safun. On Sadi Gimel Amud Beis there, right at the opening of the parak.
Unfortunately, its identity is not known.
Who says its identity is not known? We know what safon is. You know what it is? Soap. Sabon.
Yeah.
There's an entry in this in Kutcher's Milim V'Toldotehem on this word, safun. Okay, this I believe is the same word as sabon, which is cognate with English soap. So the Gemara there says that Tosus actually quotes the as if Sabon is not the dye. Safun, or whatever it is the dye remover. But it can't remove everything. That's how you tell the difference, by the way, I think, between Tcheles and Kela Ilan. Is one of the differences. I don't remember which is which, but that's one of the simonim. So you do it even.
Tcheles is the one that's fast.
Even when it, what's that? Tcheles is the one that doesn't bleed. Okay. So. But it's possible that the Gemara is not satisfied with the Mishnah of Hagozo, because the Gemara there does have an Ukimta that is talking about a Shinoi, which is Chozer L'Briasa, which maybe isn't really Shinoi, maybe not everybody agrees to. Whereas the Mishnah in Tzva'o, the assumption maybe is that it's not Chozer L'Briasa. I don't know. It's hard to know. Okay, so these are the two Makoros that the Gemara has. The interesting one, and the one that we're going to talk about a little bit for now, is the Lohispik Litno Lach Etzvao is Pater. So what does that Mishnah mean? Let's describe our scenario. We have our sheep, and they come, and we shear them. How many sheep do we own? We own five sheep. Five sheep for the moment, okay? At least five sheep.
How about six?
That was a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as you know from the Mishnah. And I think Beis Hillel's marker is Chamesh Tzon Asuyos. Yeah. And Beis Shammai's marker is Yechaye Eshe Glas Bakar Shnei Tzon. But we assume Rabbi Dosa's machlokas takes as a davar pashut, Rabbi Dosa nachachamim, that it's chamesh rachelas. Chamesh rachelas either gozos mana mana o pras, or chamesh rachelas gozos kol shehen. So we have our five sheep, and what do? We shear them. And now what do with the wool? So we dye it. Now, if we were doing things properly, what would we do? We would reach in there. We would take out enough wool to make a beged cut. The Rabbanon, we say 1/60th, but I think they're also supposed to give a minimal amount as well, enough to make some type of a beged katan. A very small beged, at least. And you give it to the kohen. So instead, what did this fellow do?
He dyed it.
Now, what is, and the Mishnah says he's potter. Now, it's a little bit strange. The whole thing is a little bit strange. Before we even get into the discussion of the Rishonim, why should he be potter? Who did the item belong to before?
The tribe of Kahuna?
No!
Him?
It's his before.
Before what?
It's not his before, because any coin can grab it.
No, but it's not necessarily that. You can give it to a coin.
Whoa, no. Hold on. A Kohen, let me frame it to you this way. Now, I know this goes back to the issue of Hafrasha. It may come back to Hafrasha. If I have Tevel, a Kohen cannot go and grab a portion of that Tevel and say, well, I was Tofes. It's meaningless. It's not Truma. It belongs to the owners. Before you mafresh anything, it belongs to the owners, period. If Ben goes and steals a portion of it, he's a gazlan. He can't keep it. They'll take it away from him. He can't set it aside as truma. Only the bindim can be mafresh truma.
And there's no hafresh.
What hafresh is there by rishis again?
Hold on. I don't know what hafresh is by rishis again, but the kohen can just, if I take a portion and I separate it as rishis again, whether or not it's a halachic chalos. So if a kohen goes and grabs it, I understand. Now, what if I say, well, hold on, before you get, and a kohen goes and grabs it, I understand. No, you're asking the wrong question. You're asking the question you've shown him. I'm asking a question before that. And a Kohen goes and grabs that wool that you set aside. So arguably, you could say, once you mafresh it, whether it has a doesn't have kedusha, but you could argue that at that point, it's a question of tovas hanoa. A tovas hanoa means the value that a non-Kohen, in this case non-Kohen, the right, if I have truma, the right to give it to Kohen X, or to Kohen Y, or to Kohen Z, there's a question whether that has economic value. The value that it does have, be it economic or not, is called tovas hanoah. Meaning, some people might not like to give gifts. They might be very stingy. But if I tell you, here's something, you have to give it away as a gift, you will get a certain amount, normal people get a certain amount of tanah out of it, because you pick the person you want to give it to, and you give it to them, and they say thank you, and you feel important, because you were able to do something nice and give somebody a gift. What's that? That's it comes up in the second paragraph, whether tovas hanah is mammon or not, whether you can be mekadesh with it. Right? And it also it comes up in that's part of the issue of takvo kohen as well, and that's sugi as well. And when the kohen sees it, has he actually stolen anything of economically actionable value? So I understand if I separate the truma, the kohen comes and grabs it, he's stolen only the tovas hanah. But if I haven't separated the truma and the kohen comes and takes 2% of my grain, he's a gazlan, and it's yotzei b'dayanim. That's it. Based on, we'll make him pay. It's a davar pashut. So, a kohen who grabs the reishis before you separate a portion to be reishis hages, and I'll tell you why bechreach why. Let's say there are different parts of the sheep, the shearings. If I mafresh, let's say I want to be mafresh one part as opposed to another. In other words, let's say I like something about the particular quality of some of the wool. Let's say it's not necessarily that one is garua and one is yafe. It's different preferences. A kohen has no right to take, you know, let's say there's the smoother wool, there's the more textured wool, you know, different parts, you know, from this mixture. You're not going to tell me that the kohen has the right to go and seize it, even though there's no hafrasha, because eventually some of the reishis hages is his. I can tell him, I want the other one. I wanted a different part. So there's no way you can tell me that before you set aside, I don't think you can tell me, before you set aside part of the wool, as rachis hages, that the kohen has the right to seize it, and that it will stand. That takfo kohen, that he wins. You can't say that. It's not like when you have a bechor, takfo kohen, it's a bechor already. It's kedushas.
It's not a right, though.
It has kedushas bechorah. It has to go to a kohen, and it already is, in effect, mamot shevet kohen, but I have tovas hanoah shebo. At this point, my gez, before this erasius, I guess, my guess has no, there's no tovas hanoah even. It's mine, mamish. So I don't understand.
It's
if dumb. I now take the wool and I dye it, how can you talk about shinui kohen being irrelevant?
It's not, well then I guess if that's the case, then it's probably the dyed wool can't go to the kohen anymore because it's not gez anymore, it's dyed wool. It's a shinui Hashem.
Why? Not why is it a Shina Hashem, but why can't it go to the Kohen?
Because what goes to the Kohen is Gez, not
So you want a Taina, you might have to say this. It's a big Chiddush. You might have to say that it's not called Gez Tzoncha anymore. It's something else. Very much like what? analogous to Esnan Zona. You remember we said by Esnan Zona, the Rishonim asked the question, Tosus asked the question already. He said, Esnan Zona, what are you talking about? Esnan Zona, the Chitim belong to the Zona before she ground them up, they belong to her after she grinds them up. What's Shayach Shinikona? So what Tosus said in effect, and this underlines Shitas HaTosfos about the nature of Shinui Kona, is why is Shinui Kona? See, it's a strange, it's not, when we say Shinui Kona, it's a funny expression. It's not that Shinui is Kona, it's that a physical Shinui means that the original object is no longer extant. And since the mitzvah is veshivis hagzela asher gazal ke'en she gazal v'mlav domen ba'alma boi shalumei, if you make a shinui in something, you can't fulfill ke'en she gazal anymore. Once you can't fulfill ke'en she gazal anymore, then memela, you just pay money. But it's not that so much that shinui is kone. It's a very strange expression. See, by Esnan Zona, the Shinui is not Kona at all. The Shinui, according to Beis Hillel, simply means that the Esnan is no longer in existence. It's something else that's here. And by, you have to say the same thing here also, I think, by the wool of the Kohen. It's not that Shinui is Kona. It's the way Mordechai says that once you dye the wool, it's not Geis Tzomcha anymore. It's something else. Now, this is not the only way to read the Gemara. There is another way of reading it. That's the Machlokas HaRishonim. But for right now, most Rishonim, with the exception of Rashi, I think, who assume that Lohispik Litno Lo Ashitzval refers to what? What was he Tzoveya? The gaze or the Rashis HaGaze? Gaze means all of it. Rashis, I'm using the terms. Rashis HaGaze means that which you can give to the Kohen. No! Most Rishonim don't assume that way. I said except for Rashi. Right, and most Rishonim assume. I mean, the Rishonim who that I could find who speak on it, which is, you know, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I think the Rambam, all assume as a davar pashut that even if you dye the wool, not just the rashis hagez. Now, the Mishnah doesn't sound like that to me. And I have to say, in fact, I think Rashi's Shita is more mistaber. Even when you say Rashi's Shita, you still may have to say what we just said before about the nature of maybe you have to say it, maybe not. But the way Tosus reads it, and we'll see Tosus inside in a little bit, is Lohispik Litno Lo Achitzvo. Pater means even if you tzovea all the wool, even though you didn't designate any portion as the Kohen's wool or Shevet Kahuna's wool, you're still pater.
Does Tosus believe that if you designate it, then it's already has the Chal Shein Reishit HaGeis?
Answer your question. You read Tosus. I know you read Tosus. What does Tosus say? Well, you told me. You read Tosus and you read the Rambam. So what does Tosus say?
He says no.
There's no Afrasha.
So if there's no Afrasha, you can call it Reishit HaGeis, and then you can change your mind and call something else Reishit HaGeis.
Yes.
Which means that really there never is Reishit HaGeis until after it's given.
Until it's given, correct. The only thing I do wonder...
So it doesn't matter if it's one piece of wool versus another piece of wool. Tosfos could never understand that you take one piece that you've designated for Reishit HaGeis, dye that one, and it makes a difference, because you could take a different piece out. It has to be the whole wool.
I could answer the question, but I'm not going to. I'm going to instead turn around and ask a different question, which I don't know the answer to, but I've never really... I certainly haven't read all of Tukpo Kohen. And I don't know what all the Rishonim say in that sugya. I don't know if they talk about Reishis HaGeis. The question is, according to Tosfos, I can almost certainly assert, yes, it is, certainly assert that if you didn't designate part of his Reishis HaGeis, no one would say that Tukpo Kohen he can keep it. The question would be, according to Tosfos, is if he designated part of it, could he at least for the purposes of Tukpo Kohen say that Afrasha is Chal until such time as you change your mind and designate a different part.
I thought you were going to add, when you said, are the Rishonim all talking about the whole wool or the part of the wool, I thought you were going to add to the dying. What happens if Tukpo Kohen means that the Kohen stole all your wool? When you're machayev him to return it, can he keep the part that's Reishit HaGeis?
Probably not. Well, again, according to what I'm saying, the answer is of course not. In other words, there is no Reishit HaGeis yet.
No, but he took all of it, so no matter what in there, there should be some Reishit HaGeis.
Not yet.
We don't know where it is, but it's more Reishit HaGeis than he has there.
Fine.
than when you would actually designate a piece.
Fine, except for that you could also give him a kol shehu midarais, and maybe you would choose to ignore the rabbanon here.
Here, have a pair.
Anyway,
the bottom line, what's the connection? Because of Shinu Hashem, what's the connection with
you? No, it's not. I don't want to say it's not a Shinu Hashem. I should have responded. I didn't mean to say it is a Shinu Hashem. It's a Shinu Maisa. It means that the gaze is no longer here. You don't have the original wool. You have something else which is physically different, and it's processed, so it's not called the gaze anymore.
But I could imagine there being a Shinu Maisa, being a different Haftzah, Jewish, but not being Koneh. What evidence is there from here that the Shinu is Koneh? I mean, the Shinu is Koneh
because otherwise you'd have to give a portion to the Kohen.
Isn't the reason you can't give that portion to the Koneh because it's not the right Haftzah anymore?
No, it's because... No, the reason why you don't give it to the Kohen is because you've, in effect, you've obliterated the Reishis HaGeiz wherever it is, because there's no longer the Geiz anymore. And the fact that, but you were supposed to give the Kohen something, it's Mamon She'en L'Tovim. There's no Kohen can be Toveyayu. And say, give me the Reishis HaGeiz which you stole.
What does that have to do with Kinyan?
So that's what I said before, the same thing by Estan Zona. It's not that... according to Tosus, certainly... The gaze was yours before, you being the owner of the sheep, the gaze is yours afterwards. It's not that you're Kone, it's that Shinui, when a Shinui takes place, it means the original object from a halachic perspective no longer exists. When I dye wool, it's not that I have wool and now it's colored. It's I had wool, undyed, I had undyed wool, and now I have something completely different, I have dyed wool.
And therefore, sense, but the problem is the Gemara uses this as a proof.
Yes, one second. It's the same logic as by Estan Zona. The reason, what does Shinui Kona mean? Shinui Kona means you don't have to return the object you stole, you just pay money. Why? Because the only reason you return the original object that you stole is because Veshivas Hagzela Asher Gazal, otherwise you would just pay any money. But because the Torah says Asher Gazal Kein Asher Gazal, you have to return the object. And if it is, in order to fulfill properly Tashlumin. But if the original object is no longer Kein Asher Gazal, there is no the Gazela, the Geneva is not extant anymore. So then you can't return it. It doesn't do anything. So there's no difference between returning the object or returning money. It's just a valuation question. Okay, so that's what we said by Estan Zona. That's how Tosus in effect explain the connection between how does Estan Zona prove that Shinu is Kona. If you can bring a shinui, if you can bring an esnan which had a shinui, occur as a karban, why? It's not a question of kinyan. But what Tosus did say is that a shinui means the original object is no longer here. So legabe karban, it means it's not called esnan zon anymore. Legabe reishis hageiz, we would say it's not called geiz anymore. It's not called geiz tzelcha. And legabe gezela, it means that the original object is no longer stand for the purposes of asher gazal kein shegazal. Therefore, you just pay whatever you want, whatever value, the proper value.
And the reason you can't pay money is because you could say you would give it to someone else. You could have given
Right. You don't. In the case of Reishis HaGeiz, you don't pay because there's no Toveya.
But meantime, we're wondering about that. Isn't it true that the same thing applies to the wool itself? You could always say that the wool I wanted to give to another Kohen. And if that were the case, then after you separate something as Reishis HaGeiz, then no Kohen would be able to take it from you.
No Kohen is allowed to take it from you. You mechuyev to fulfill a mitzvah and give it to a Kohen.
Even after you separated as Rashid Hagez?
Yes, there's a mitzvah of Titen Lo. Truma, for example, has two mitzvahs. Truma, there's a mitzvah Hafrasha, which removes the Yisr Tevel from an object. After you separate, and for that those purposes, what's the Shir Midarais of Truma?
There is none.
So we normally say Chita Achas Potersis Akri, but I believe there are Mishonim who say that there is a Shir Daraisa of Truma. It has to be Kedei Nesida. It might be a Kazayis or something like that. The percentage is definitely Drabbanan. So what's Peshat? How can you say this is Deraisa? The Gemara says Chita Achas Patersa Sakri. So the answer is yes. Chita Achas Patersa Sakri means that for the purposes of removing the Isser Tevel from a grain so that you can now eat it, one Chita exempts it. And if all you separate is the one Chita, you can't separate anything more after that. But in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of reishis digoncha tirashchav yitzarecha titenlo, and from the end of the pasuk, you need kedei nesina. Kedei nesina means kazayis, kabetz, whatever exactly the shear is. And midrabbanan, they impose the percentage, a 50th, a 40th, a 60th. But there are two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of frasha, and there's the mitzvah of nesina lekoin. There's a very important gra. It's in the discussion of Chal and Truma, and it comes up at the end of the fourth parak in Gittin, in Amocher Sadeu La'akum, Lokeach Umevi Bikurim. It's one of the last Mishnayos in the fourth parak in Gittin. And there's an important discussion the Gra has, about the question of both Chal and Truma. Let's say I'm not interested in eating the grain. Let's say I grew grain and I basically want to make a bonfire out of it. Semai mechuyev to separate trumas and ma'isos. There's no issur tevel, that's for sure.
That happens sometimes. In America, the government pays farmers
to keep raising
to
up.
Either not grow or to destroy their crops. So
fine.
You can have such a case, let's say, happen
fine,
in Israel.
Fine, so there you go. Okay, so the government's paying you to destroy the crops. The question is, do you have to first separate the trumas and ma'isos and then give them to the appropriate parties or not? And let's say you're not even. There are two questions. On the one hand, there's a question of separating the truma and then giving it to the kohen. And what about mas? What about? Well, I want to say masa shenek. But let's say a person was a levi. Does he have? Should he supposed to? Is there a mitzvah to separate the masa rishon, and then burn it? Is there a mitzvah of freshest trumas and maizos, or is it no? If you want to eat the grain, there's a mitzvah of freshest trumas and maizos. And once you're mafresh it, you have to give it to a kohen. And to fulfill the mitzvah properly, it has to be kedena sina. Same thing by chal. Let's say you're making dough for play dough. Okay, and your child's not going to eat it. Do you have to separate challah from it? Do you have to separate challah? Play-Doh is dough. Right? That's why you have to get rid of Play-Doh on Har Pesach. It's chametz. Sammy, you're looking at me funny. Yeah, it's called Play-Doh for a reason. It's also keeping the occupational therapist in business. Because if they gave kids clay, they wouldn't need as much OT. But silly putty is probably not dough. But Play-Doh is dough. Kikishmo Kane who?
Is it really thick?
How would you know? Have you ever tasted it?
It is. It's not toxic.
It's certainly not toxic.
It's
that
not
doesn't
toxic
make it really
nothing. The kids play with it and eat it.
What? Add some salt into it, you know, bake it. You never know. So besides, it may have to be pasul l'achilas hakelev anyway. Nifsam achilas hakelev in order to qualify, since it's certainly at some stage is ra'i l'achila. It's dough. Play-Doh is dough. You come before Pesach, you gotta get rid of your dough. Or you got to sell it. Sell it to the guy. So his kids can play with the Play-Doh. Okay? I'm sorry? Chaim.
Why can't you say that?
And then give it to your children to play with after Pesach? Yes, and then you give it to your children after Pesach, and then they eat it. And you take it to the emergency room for poisoning. There's a reason why they make Play-Doh the way they do, as dough and non-toxic, right? Precisely so it will be non-toxic. So, thank you. Okay. Anyway, so...
Can we discuss why this ratio here, Misha Chetfo Zechava?
I'm sorry?
It seems to be Misha Chetfo Zechava, and the Rashi and Nabokama.
Well, one second. Hold on one second. We'll come back to that. So, coming back, again, there's a mitzvah of hafrasha and there's a mitzvah of nesina. So, Reishis HaGeiz maybe doesn't have a mitzvah of hafrasha, but it's inconceivable to me, just to sort of sum, it's inconceivable that a person would have, that a Kohen could ACs before you did a hafrasha. It's inconceivable. If you're going to say that even if you tzoveah the wool without separating that you're Koneh, it means that it's not the original wool, the way Mordechai suggested. You see, if you say, like Rashi is going to say, well, then you do have an option to say that basically, in other words, if you take wool that you're supposed to be mafresh, that you mafresh and you have to give it to a Kohen, okay, and then you dye it, is that an act of Gezel? The answer is, it's either Gezel or Mazik. Right, it's some form prohibited act because it's now Mamon Shevet Kahuna. There may not be anybody who can take you to a Beis Din, but it's Mamon Shevet Kahuna. And so if you say like Rashi, I could conceive of this is a very straight up Shinui Kona. In other words, I have something that really belongs to Kohanim. I take it to act improperly on it, namely by dyeing their wool without them asking me to do it. So basically, I'm a Gazlan and I make a Shinui and it's some Kona. So for Rashi, it is conceivable that it's more straight-up case of Shina Kona. But for Tosfos, I don't see any possibility. Okay, now, let's take a look at Rashi. Now, for Rashi, what about the Mishnah? Lo hispik litno lo ad shitzvo. Someone want to read just the context of the larger Mishnah. Michal, do you have the Mishnah there from Chulin? Let's read for context. Okay, to understand this, you have to know previous Mishnayos, because there are things that are noheg, and there are mitzvahs that are noheg in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz Laretz. Okay? I don't think there was anything in this list of Mishnayos in Chulin, but elsewhere you do have something that's knowing only Bifnei Habayis and so on. Okay, Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz similarly. And Chulin Avolom and Mekdashim, certain things apply even to Hekdesh. For example, Gid HaNasha, the prohibition of eating a Gid applies both to Chulin and Mekdashim. Kisei Hadam does not apply to Mekdashim. Basar B'chalav, I don't know if the Mishnah actually uses language there, would apply to Mekdashim. Mm-hmm. Very famous Gemara that factors into the Mechitza Tshuva of Moshe. One of the Gemara goes to a Havamin to try to explain that you couldn't. The reason why there's no Kisar Dama Mikdash in Bechreach is because there's no dirt in the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, well, why not bring in dirt? So the Gemara says, because it's considered Mosif al Abinyan, and you can't be Mosif al Abinyan because everything had to be according to the vision outlined by David. A coal is something. That's not a helpful pasuk, is it?
There's no dirt in the Mikdash.
No, there's no accumulated dust.
Well, then, what did the Kohen use to mix into the drink?
That's a good question. So, what's the answer to Ben's question? What?
No.
He erased the paper, the shem and shem, to the water. The Torah says, "Umin ha'afar asher yebikar kamishkan yikach kohen sanamayim." What do they do in the mikdash?
Scrape them up.
So, if you learn off of what, the marble floor? No, I mean, there's a tradition about the sheet then. So the Mishnah in Sota says that there was a place inside the Ulam where there was a little ring in the tile on the floor, and he would lift it up, and underneath was Afar.
Apparently,
they didn't feel there was enough there in terms of Kisui Hadam for a regular basis. So the Gemara there says, they quote up as a Kobiksav Miyara Shem Alayin from Divrei Hayamim. Okay? And therefore, you can't. The Gemara was the whole shock of Atayah. So Ramosha wanted the proof from this that the Isser of Hosaf al Abinyan really is an Isser d'Oraisa, because here the Gemara wanted to assume that you're going to exempt them from Kisei Adam by Mukdashim. And we know that they added in the balcony and then Ezras Nashim in the Beis HaMikdash because they still had men and mixing together. But obviously they could only have added it if it were there in Midaraisa, and that's where Moshe says Mechitzas Midaraisa. The part I can't figure out about the Tshuva is that if it's supposed to be there in the original Ksav, why didn't they build it originally that way? I don't know the answer to that question. Rav obviously didn't agree with this. He assumed that the requirement that Mechitza was only... I know, but when was it called the Ezras Nashim? In the Mishnah. By the time the Mishnah was written, there was already a balcony there. So that doesn't... Because it's part of the original. What's that? Because there was a, because it was part of the, yes, part of the original plan. He wanted to argue the model. I mean, it's not the rice in the sense that it was David's vision or Nasan's vision or whoever's vision is that's. David is referring to the Divrei Hayamim, but he wanted to argue that since they were allowed to put it in, the requirement, and it's part of the plan, you see from the plan, which is soon to be in some ways maybe the Raisa plan, that there is a notion built in for the separation with a mechitza, with a balcony, better than a mechitza. It is dachuk, but you have to understand when the tshuva was written. Something as central as you would think to Orthodox Judaism as a mechitza and a shul and separate seating is not mentioned once in the Gemara, not once in the Rishonim, not once in the Shulchan Aruch. It probably doesn't get mentioned until the 19th century when people started to be mefakpe, right? You know, how do you know that you need a mechitza and a shul or some type of separation? Well, how do you know that Yaakov wore a yarmulke? The answer is because it says Vayitzei Yaakov Mershav Yacharana. Yaakov Avinu left Haran and he wasn't wearing a yarmulke. So that's the same way you know this mechitza and a shul. That's how you know. That's how you know.
Oh, that's such a good pasuk, right?
Bachorim v'gamet lo zekenim im ne'arim.
Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara has a makor by Avelus. You know, but in Zechariah, that the base David and base, you know, the Nashim of base David, will mourn on whatever that mispaid, you know, kemispaid hadad bayomahu yigdala mispaid b'yushalayim kemispaid hadad rimon ben tav rimon, and so on, so on. It describes how, you know, mishpachas base David levad, and then the Nashim were separate. Whatever.
You can't understand that puzzle
anyway,
without the targum.
Yes, thank you. The Gemara Megillah, you should all know from intro. Fine. Ilulei targumenam. All right. So anyway, so that's b'chul and avalom u'mektoshim depends upon the particular din. Okay. Chomer, go ahead. Michael.
Chomer bezrach v'chayim v'keva merish sagish asrov ha'alchayim v'keva noed v'bazar v'zon b'nuba u'mulat merish sagish inanoid el b'chelos inanoid el b'nuba.
Okay. So someone asked me, and Mordechai asked me very cleverly. There's a great pun here as it's connected to our sugi. It's only noed el b'meruba. Apparently, in Lithuania yeshiva, is the only time you learn about reish sagish is when you learn parak meruba. Otherwise, it's totally irrelevant. Okay. Yeah, okay, but any time you say that, that's not a surprise there. Anyway, so I that pun definitely gets 3 points for, on something. Fine. Beisham Makama who? Yechaye. Okay. And we know where the Chamesh Tzon Asiyos, the context of that?
It's Abigail,
okay. It's obviously the pasuk's a total asmacht. I don't know how that tells you anything about Reish Sages, but I shouldn't say that. No, I take that back.
Because
that's what Naval was doing. Yeshayahu doesn't have any context. Remember what happened with David, right? He heard that Naval was shearing his sheep, so this was, you know, a happy time. And so he sent the request, and Naval basically gave him the, you know, the biblical equivalent of the middle finger. And then David basically got angry, is ready to go. You disagree with that? I think that's the best way of the characterization.
I just learned about 3 days ago, and it's that, if not worse.
No, I understand. I think that's the best way. Forgive
worse.
The expression. Maybe Rosh Hashiva shouldn't be saying that, but I think that's sort of that is the best way of terming it. You know, if you want the best cultural analogy, that's what it is for Neville, right?
He basically said, I don't care if you starve, go off and starve someone.
And David got pretty mad, and he was ready to, mad would be the correct word, not angry. And he was ready to basically to wipe out Neville's house. It's not clear exactly what the halachic basis for that was. Chazal say morid b'malchus, okay. But I think the Gemara Megillah says dialogue between Avigail. I don't know if she raised that issue. It's raised somewhere there with Abigail and David, and he's tining, but, you know...
But that discussion is...
So anyway, so at the end of the day, so when she brings him Chamesh Tzon Asiyos, so you know that Neville sheared at least... Well, he had at least 5 sheep, but he probably sheared more than 5 sheep. Anyway, so there is at least a little connection. Fine. Now, in light of the debate between Beisham and Beisilo, you have a further debate. Rabbi Dosa... And by the way, just a side ha'ara here. This is something that I did. I have written. Rabbi Dosa. This piece appears in Adios as well. And in all likelihood, going back to the Tosa at the beginning of Meruba, this piece was copied into the Mishnah because you can tell it was sort of copied haphazardly. There's a line that's missing in the Mishnah. In other words, you notice how it goes: V'kama hi Meruba, Beishamai Omrim, and there should have been a segue to the debate. Something like Vikama Gozazos, Rabbi Dosa ben Herkines Omer, Chamesh Rechelos Gozos Man. And this statement comes out of nowhere, right? Rabbi Dosa Chamesh Rechelos. There's no segue between the previous part and this, which would suggest that it was sort of artificially imposed here. Of course, had the editor put in a segue, we wouldn't be able to tell anymore, and then we wouldn't know where it originated. But he was kind enough to leave it out, so sort of gives it away. Chamesh Rechelos Mano Mano Pras Chayavos. Go ahead, I'm sorry, if you read it, keep going. Okay, and then notice again, you get the question here. You do have a segue. V'chama. Tsoi, what is tsoi means filthy? Okay. You know that word from Tanakh?
Tsoah. You have to cover.
Tanakh.
That's cool.
It's actually not used. I don't know that it's used for the way that it's used there. Ki kol shulchanos malu'u ki tsoah. Ki is vomit, and tsoah is probably filth.
But say atan.
That's from the Haftar Shmos.
With the yati elecha.
Say asecha.
Say
no, that say asecha. I don't know if tzol comes from that. Means which goes out. That's something else. That it is, but it's not the word. The word soa.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
Is that's with an aleph? That's, and this one's
a, no, they both have alephs, but there is a tzoa with an ayin. It means atzoa zona. But malu ki tzoa, I'm suggesting. I don't know if tzoa. I don't know if tzoa refers to in biblical Hebrew. If it refers to excrement, or if it just refers to filth. Right, hulavush begadim tsoim, which means filthy.
But you
said tzeos,
like cold
milk.
That's
tzeos, begel last tzeos ha'adam. Yeah.
That's
a different word.
The aleph to talk about excrement is the same thing as using the term excrement in English to talk about.
Okay, fine.
It just means that.
Okay. Anyway, maluban velo tzoi. It means. It means bleached and not filthy.
But it doesn't actually mean bleached and not filthy. It means
it
the
mean
amount.
Bleached. Yes, it means the amount that would be. Presumably, what happens when you bleach it is you remove impurities, you know, even larger things, and it means that you need a little bit more because it's a weight.
Presumably, you're also combing out the dirt.
Right. Well, that's part of the bleaching. That's what you do when you bleach it.
And the reason you know that is because if it didn't mean the amount and it actually meant bleached, then the later line in the Mishnah would be
yes,
irrelevant.
I understand. Yes.
How are you supposed to know? Like how much? Like is there a set amount of how much the weight is reduced? I mean, after cleaning it.
Can someone answer that question?
Depends how dirty it is.
I think the answer is, of course. But if you worked with wool, you would know. If I worked for the library, I would know too. I have no idea what that is. In other words, you
know how much it generally
goes. Yes, it's one. I learned this. I don't think I told this story, but I learned this story over Yontif at one point on Yontif. But before the week before Yontif, when I had to get my car failed inspection because there was a light bulb, one light bulb that was out on one of the above the trunk. So I went to get a replacement. So. I go into, somebody told me go into this auto parts store. I came in, I handed this to the guy, and I had just gone into a hardware store that didn't have it, and the guy had to look carefully, looked at the number, he went to stay, and he didn't have it. He told me to go to this place. I handed it to the guy, and the guy said to me, you know, he looked, well, he said, oh yeah, you have a Honda, whatever, whatever. I said, wow, how did you know that? Now, obviously, he knew it looking at the bow, but, you know, you look at this little bow. So he says to me, what do you do? So I tell him, I'm a teacher. He said, what do you teach? I teach Talmud, I teach Bible. So he said, it turned out he was an Israeli, you know, who grew up on a kibbutz, but I mean, he had an accent. I couldn't tell what the accent was. That only came out later. And he said, well, do you know the story of what happened each day of creation? Could you tell me? I said, yeah. So he said, well, just like you can tell me that, so I can tell you looking at what this bulb came from. Now, I wasn't in any way not nice, but I expressed surprise, which I shouldn't have been surprised, because an Uman knows his Umanus. So the answer to your question, Chaim, is there set weight? Probably. If you go to anybody who spends his life dealing with shearing sheep and cleaning, he could probably tell you, you know, down to a percent, the average amount that it's reduced. What it is, I have no idea. But the lesson in life you do learn is that is respect for Umanim, at least those who are good at what they do, because they have a certain kind of skill and talent that has been developed in doing what they do. Okay. Anyway, so now the Mishnah continues. Kedei. Fine. So these are the basic dinim so far, Rishis Hageis. As I mentioned at the beginning of the year before everybody got here, the reason I put the whole Mishnah on is because I have a suspicion that many of you will never learn Mishnah Chulin. I wish it wouldn't be true, but I know that for many it could very well be the case, and therefore, just in case, in that remote possibility should come to Royal. So at least you learned about Reishis HaGeish. You learned the Perek HaMishnayis and Chulin. Okay, fine. Even if you do Chulin in Yeridei and Smicha here, you generally don't do Reishis HaGeish, even though there is a Simen in Yeridei of Reishis HaGeish. It's just not in the first Chedek like that everybody does. It's somewhere, I think, in the third, the way our Shulchan Aruch split up in the third Chedek. All right, continue. Lo Hispik. Libino. Fine. Okay. And Libino here probably is, I suspect, the Gemara has a discussion later. I don't think it's a chemical bleaching. It's combing it out, getting rid of all the impurities, maybe even washing it. But it's not actually, it's not like a dye. It's not like a bleaching it with, what do they use, sulfur? What is it they use to bleach?
To be honest, in the times of the Gemara, what did they use?
Yeah, I think I'm not even sure they use. They don't use chlorine.
You want to
know? No, your laundry room near bleach is chlorine based. They use some type of sulfur compound, sulfur oxide or something like that. Some one of them they use in order. That's how they bleach.
Urine.
Yeah, but they would also leave it out in the sun.
What is guffrus? It's
sulfur.
Carmella.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. It's a sulfur compound that's used to bleach. It's some sort of sulfur compound. I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, for wax and wool, they would also just leave it out in the sun.
Okay.
But that's not talking about wool, which was
anyway, black. So bottom line is Libno is not a shinut, Tzvo is a shinut. Now look at the Mishnah. You don't have to read any further for now. Look at the Mishnah and you tell me.
We had...
Lo hispik litno lo. Just read the words carefully. Lo hispik, if... He had not literally sufficed if he hadn't had the chance. Likino lo, to give it to him, ad shetzva'o, until he died. I know in Hebrew 12, 5, 12, 6, they don't teach suffixes, but you need to know them anyway. Okay? Ad shetzva'o, until he had died. Don't start with me, Colbert. Ad shetzva'o, died it. So pater. So what's the it? How many its do we have? I would like them to be the same, right? Unless we have pronoun bubbles. But putting that aside, I assume that it and it are the same thing.
Well, if they should both be the same thing as the suffix, as the bob of bo from the previous one, it's titenlo jehebo de matana.
As well. That, now, and but, that's but so separate sentence. Lo hispik litno lo, what is the it? Is it all the wool, or is it the rachis, I guess? The rachis, I guess, because you're not going to give him the wool. You're only going to give him the rachis, I guess. So the words themselves suggest, and what does Rashi say? I don't know if he's beferish, but it is. I mean, Rashi writes...
What would mean he colored the whole? Rashi there or Rashi here?
Rashi here. What? I'm sorry?
Wait, the only colored the
rachis, I assume for the moment it means he dyed the rachis, I guess. What would happen if... you are correct, Ami. The Mishnah has always struck me. Said, "Lo hispik litno lo achitzvo." It's like he just forgot, right? And he didn't have the chance to give it to the Kohen. He just forgot, and he died all the more. It's a strange lashon. Yeah, but it's a little odd. Which, by the way, incidentally, also that should in itself tell you something. That is a riot to what? What I mean, if it. I agree with your reading of the Mishnah, but I don't know if we should take it literally. It might mean that he intentionally did it. But if he did it unintentionally, Al, what does that mean? Well, no. What he would do is he would just be mafreshid and... Say it again?
There still is hafrasha prah. No.
But you could still do that.
There's no legal prah.
Hey, one second. Yeah. I know, I just have this encouraging. You answer. Lo hispik litno lo achitzvo. If you remind me, I do often like to have you answer each other's questions on occasion. Lo hispik litno lo achitzvo. What's that?
Right.
Michaverai harbe lamater abosai michavero yoser mitami deyoser mikulam. So maybe that means you should talk and I should listen. Anyway, so the you can still do hafrasha just because you want to give mamon to shevet kuna because you know you don't want to be nene from gezel in effect. But the Mishnah, I think, if it's unintentional, as Ami is suggesting, it actually would suggest prove something we said earlier. Would anybody say that a shina is kone? If b'shogeg, if your intent is not to be kone.
It's not negative intent, it's just no intent.
But here's the what I would say is that if, and then this goes back to, that original lechakir with Rashi and Tosos, what is the nature, basis of shina being kone? If you say, like Tosos, that it's not the original object, so I understand, it makes no difference whether you do the shina intentionally or not, you know, or it doesn't matter. The bottom line is it's not the same object anymore.
If it's
a question of me, Motzi Mishris Balam, the way Rashi formulates it, then presumably, and it is clear, it's going to be clear on Samach Vav Amud Beis, that you're not Kona Bal Karchach. That the Ganav doesn't want to be Kona, right? In other words, you might argue Shinu is different, but Shinu is only different, it's Kona. Yes, but I could still argue Shinri is different because something actually physically changed in it, and therefore, but that's what we do in fact argue, is we argue Shinri is Kona Bal Karchach, not because he wants to be Kona or doesn't want to be Kona, just because it's not the original object anymore. It's not the original object anymore. And the only reason why by Chametz he can pay it back is because he can still Reishal Chavanech and he wasn't Kona. No, but in the case of Reishis Hageis, we discussed that possibility, and it's going to come back. Of maybe it's not Pashur's Bailam anymore, but it's not Pashur's Ganav either. So we're going to come back to that. That's going to be discussion here. But in the context of yes, I agree. Except that in the context of Reishis Hageis, the issue is not whether or not the Bailam are Kona the wool. The issue is whether or not there's any geis left from which they can fulfill the mitzvah, the technical mitzvah, reishis geis and chatiten lo. If there's no geis, just as if you didn't have any sheep, you're not mechuyim reishis hageis. If you don't have any reishis hageis anymore, you're also not mechuyim reishis hageis. Bal karchach, you can't do it. So that's how it might be. But you're right. In other words, if it came down to whether or not the other party was kona, so that could depend upon whether it's intentional or not. In theory, it could. Right? In the case of Gazlan, all it means. When the Gazan always has the choice to give back the object that he stole. It's just that he's not mechuyev to if it's not ben. And to give it back with Taras Tashlum and not with Taras Kein Shigazal. Okay, so Rashi says, let's go look at Rashi in. Rashi in Chulin was not very helpful, I thought. I mean, he explains, but he didn't sort of refine it. Lohispik Medesh Tzvo Yisrael Zepata, Rashi says. One second. Rashi and Chulin. I did want you to look just briefly, Rashi and Chulin, if you have in front of you. What, anybody and besides me have Rashi and Chulin in front of them? Mordechai, you have?
Yeah, which one?
Rashi and Dima Maschal Patu there. Wait, no, I don't have that in my Rashi.
Oh, another Petura, the Kanya Bishinoi?
Yeah.
The Kanya Bishinoi?
Yeah, it's a very different issue later, yeah. The Kanya Bishinoi?
The Kanya Bishinoi, how are they Kmazik?
Mazik Matnos Kahuna?
Mazik Matnos Kahuna, or Shechlan.
Okay, so he says basically that your Kone Bishinoi. Now, Rashi's language is very clear. It's like Mazik Matnos Kahuna, or eating them. So what does Rashi assume that you're eating? That you're dying. Reishis Hageis, and he's assuming that Afrasha, it's at least Mamon Kohanim, even though it's not Mamon Kohen. It's not a specific Kohen, but it's Mamon Shevet Kahuna. And Rashi assumes that you're Kona, like if you steal it, if you mazik it, you eat it. Okay, so basically, that's what Rashi assumes that you're doing here. You're Kona at Bishinoi. Now Rashi can say that because he's assuming that it's talking about the Reishis Hageis itself. So you can talk about something belonging to the Kohanim. If, however, you turn to Tosfos, and then read Rashi in Bava Kamma now.
Lo
So it's very clear, very explicit. He's talking about, I mean, racious, I guess. Not the gays, but the racious, I guess. Patur. Right. Now, I don't want to say this for sure, but one could argue that Rashi is l'shitaso here. Rashi who says that the Kohen is kona b'shinoi, and he says it's talking about dafka the Rashi Sagez, is because... It's kona b'shinoi. Is Rashi is l'shitaso, is that a shinoi is not that panama chadashas bo l'kan, that it's a different object, but rather that the shinoi was an act to be motzit merishus b'ilam. Now, if you're going to say the way Rashi does, that it's not that it's a different object, but rather that you're kone b'shinoi, so then it doesn't make sense. The Esalon Zona case is very difficult. We're not going to explain that now. And, in addition, this case would be difficult if it was talking about the gaze itself. Because by the gaze itself, you can't say that you're kone b'shinoi. It's yours already. The racious, I guess, is what to talk about. If you want to acknowledge the hafrasha in some sense, you can say it belongs to the kohanim, you're kone b'shinoi. But if it's the gaze itself, it's all the wall, you can't be kone anything. It's yours. So the shinoi is lomalav lomorid. It only, once you say that it's talking about all the gaze, you have to say, like the way Tosa says, that the reason why shin is kone is because it's not that shin is kone, it's that the original object is no longer shin, it's no longer here. There's no kain shagazal anymore. So therefore, mainly you just pay damim. And by esnan zona, it's not that she's the zona owned it before she ground it up, and after she ground it up, it's just that it's not what she was given as an esnan zona. And by the wool, it's not called geis tzoncha anymore because you dyed it, so it just doesn't exist anymore. So Tosus can say what he says that basically it's the entire wool that he dyes. But Rashi perhaps has to say. That it's the racious, I guess, dafka, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to explain how, and this has any relationship to shinui kona. Any questions about that? No. Mazik. Mazik is kona to the extent that he makes a shinui. You know, in other words, I mean, normally mazik does involve a permanent physical change. Or a chalan is a gazlan. Right. I think, by the way, the reason why Rashi may introduce the mazik there is because there's a sugya there. There's a tosus not on the amud. It's in the wrong place. It's on Kuf Lamed Zayin. There's a famous sugya of Rav Kahana or somebody, Rav Huna, who says that mazik matnas kahuna is pater. That's the issue that Rashi just accepts as the maskaneh. That may be why he quotes mazik there. But I assume anyway, most mazik involves a physical shinoi. And Achalan is the Ganav, straight Akaneva. Okay.
Rashi clearly holds over here that Rashi's Gizah could be taken by any Kohen.
Isn't that correct? Once you separate it, right? Yeah, not that he's allowed to, but if he's Chataf, so he's Ocha. That's true by Truma also. If I separate Truma from my Tevo, and now a Kohen comes in and grabs it, that's Takvo Kohen.
Right.
So we assume that Tov Hasana is not Mamon, and you can't be Motzi Mirshas Kohen. So it's no different by Rashi, I guess. The real Kasha would be, according to Tosus, should that ever be true? If Tosus holds that a Hafrasha is not a Hafrasha, by Rashi, I guess, would that ever be true?
Fine. Okay, but...
In fact, somebody here, Chaim and Mordechai, you want to make a Siyam Rashi, I guess? You learned the whole parakah, but I think the Sugya... What's that?
A very good Aleph.
Right, that's paragraph. Except I think that the sugya of Masik Matnas Kohen, I think, is in the previous paragraph. This is the 10th paragraph. But you have to go through that sugya and see if there are any racious Hagez cases. No, I'm sorry, no, that won't help you. No, you need to Takvo Kohen. I don't know if there is any racious Hagez by Takvo Kohen. But if you had such a case, it would seem to be a Raya again, maybe not a Raya against Tosus. But according to Tosus, I would have expected that even after Yomafrish, the Kohen sees it doesn't mean anything. But for Rashi, Rashi certainly holds the way he does. He holds it to Hafrasha.
Okay, so the question that Chaim and I had was, if that's the case, how can you say, let's say Shinui is Kona, and therefore you have to pay Damim.
Shinui is Kona, you have to
pay Damim. Okay, but no one can sue you because no one can say, that you were to give it to me.
Right.
But no one is able to say that at the outset for Rishon HaGez either.
Correct. That's why Beis Din will not be motzi. But there's many cases where Beis Din's not motzi, but im tafas lo mafkinim in it.
So also over here, it should be that if a kohen grabs the damim worth of Rishon HaGez, the Beit Din should not be able to take it back from him. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, because there's no suffix here. The cases of Tfisa, if you want to know why not, if he grabs Dhamim. No, the problem is that once you want to say if a Kohen is Tofes Dhamim by a case where he destroyed the Rishis, I guess.
You can't. It doesn't make sense that you can't be Tovea him because
I'm not in that sugya. If I'm reluctant, I don't want to say anything because I may be wrong.
As a possible solution, I thought maybe in terms of the Baal can say, I don't want to give this dummy more, I want to give a different set of dummy or something like that. That whatever the mean that they want to take, the Baal can say, well, that's not the money that I wanted to give. It could be,
yeah.
But that's from the way where she said, I don't really understand.
Why Kosis? No, it's Giza Navoda by Bechor. That's what I thought you were telling me. No, that's unrelated. I didn't see any rishis, I guess. It's Giza. That's completely unrelated. But Rashi says it only on the Matanos themselves. I don't think he would say. See, I'll tell you why. See, that's a case. Tukvil Kohen's different. Because Tukvil Kohen is a Vadai Chiyuv, but a suffix to which Kohen. But once you destroy the Rishis HaGez, there's no Chiyuv.
Why? The Chiyuv is still there.
No.
Why?
What are you going to give? There's no Rishis HaGez.
It doesn't matter. You're Kohenis, now you owe the money. Rishis HaGez is just. It's not necessary. I think it. I mean, that's what Rashi seems to be saying. You would have to pay the demim except for no one could sue you.
It's a good question.
It's a hava amina in Rashi. I feel the demim lima shalem. It's a hava amina in
Rashi. No, it's not a hava amina. It's a maskana. You're arguing, but let's say someone was tafas.
No,
I don't know the answer to that question. I will tell you there's a drusha the Gemara has. Probably in a number of places. I don't remember where. I recall it being somewhere in Ksubos. V'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga prat l'mazik. The assumption is that a mazik doesn't pay for damage to truma. That means before you give it to him, before it's mamon shel kohen. And that's not because ein lo tovim. That's exeris hakasav. So I have to go back and I don't know the answer to the question. It's a good question. I don't know. Yes.
I have a question about Rashi's. I don't know if this is just something I'm misunderstanding with the Lashon or something I'm missing, but why does he say Yafal Omar La'acher Etnen? Does that mean that he's going to find a Kohen? Does that mean that he says, I was intending on giving it to a different Kohen, so no one Kohen can be Tobeya? Or does it mean that I'll just find a Kohen who wants Rishis HaGez that's died? Why does it say Etnen?
No. No, it's just that. He can say, you don't have standing against me because in order to be Tovea Mi and Din, you have to have standing. That means that you have to have an economic loss that you're seeking redress for. And since you don't have any economic loss, because who says I was going to give it to you, you have no standing. That's all it means. I would have given it to someone else, and therefore they're the ones, that coin, whoever that coin be, would be the one to sustain the economic loss. That's just a way of talking. That's
sin. That
No. Rashi is using more biblical language. Then it means I was going to give it to him. Don't mean anything more than that. No. He's just forget it, Michal. He's just using poetic language. That's all. He's asking a different question. Okay, so let's look at Tosfos quickly. Lo hispik li nolach tzvo. Daniel, have you seen Tosfos yet? Okay, so why don't you read Lo hispik li nolach tzvo patur? Read Ach tzvo first. And then we have time, we'll read those bit. Achit Svo, it's the short one. When did they say Kisha Isi wrote to Aloha Yisa wrote to Achsha, Shata wrote to Nani wrote to something like that line? So good. I, that's why I said that. Achitzvah.
In the Torah,
Shavah, Talkoa, Shilkoa, Ma, in other words, it's not like Truma. There's no Hafrasha Shaykh Habe as opposed to Truma, which is Hafrasha Shaykh Habe. Okay, so Tosfos assumes and states explicitly there's no such thing as Hafrasha, and even if you're Mafrish, it doesn't mean anything. That cuts both ways. It means that the Kohen has no Tfiyah on a specific portion. It also means you're not in effect exempted just because you set it aside. In other words, what would happen here? This would be one of the litmus cases, Yehuda, and maybe you were wondering about the Tosefta. What will you tell me? What would be a litmus test about whether the Hafrasha was really a Hafrasha? Okay, so I'll give you a little help on this. I have a Kri, I set aside Truma, and then the angel appointed on lightning comes down on a lightning bolt and consumes my Truma, and maybe some of the rest of it or not. Am I chayiv to pay to the Kohen? What? Am I chayiv about? Now, what's the din by Truma? You patur. If you ish ki yochal kodesh b'shaga prat lamazik. And a passive destruction, the example I gave, is no worse than an active destruction, as long as you don't eat it. If you eat it, then you have to pay kerem b'chomesh, you know, to a Kohen of davar ra'i lias kodesh. But, so the litmus test, Yehuda, one potential litmus test is whether you chayiv achriyus, so other rashis, I guess, which means you separate it, and now something happens to it. You haven't given it to a Kohen yet. And the question is, are you chayiv to make good on it? Now, if you are not chayiv to make good on it, what is that, a raya? If you're not chayiv to make good on it, that's a raya that it was a hafrasha, an absolute raya it's a hafrasha. If you're chayiv to make good on it, so the, technically speaking, you could go both ways. You could say the fact that you're chayiv to make good on it means it's not a hafrasha, or maybe, is it possible to say that you still have achrayis? Now, it would be unusual, because how would that compare to truma? For here, this, you have to know a mishnah, the first mishnah in the seventh parak of Eidios. Okay, and if I hadn't, you know, written a dissertation about it, maybe I probably wouldn't know the mishnah offhand, but fortunately, it's at least you can write a dissertation, write it on obscure Masechta that most people would never learn otherwise. This way you walk away with a little bit of Bikias. So the Mishnah there has a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer on the one hand, Rabbi Tzedek and Rabbi Yeshua. I think it's a Chum, or I remember it's Rabbi Tzedek and Rabbi Yeshua, and then it's the Chachamim later in the Mishnah. As to Pidyon Peter Hamor. Pidyon Peter Hamor. So, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tzedek, Amridame et Maser Sheni. If you separate money from Maser Sheni, and then something, and you poda Maser, upon the Maser Sheni money, and something happens to the money, what is the din? Do you have to bring new money for Maser Sheni? The answer is no. And Rabbi Eliezer is Medame to Pidyon Bechor. And a father sets aside Chamesh Slayim. If he sets aside Chamesh Slayim, it hasn't given to the Kohen, and something happens to it, what's the din? Then, the answer is Yuchayev. Yuchayev until the money reaches the hands of the Kohen. Now, the question is, and everybody agrees on that. Now, the assumption behind that, I think, is that if I separate five slime, I can give a different five slime to the Kohen. There's no kedusha to the five slime. It's a monetary chov. It's very clearly from the Gemara and kedusha, it's a chov. And until the chov is discharged, I'm chayiv to pay. But if it were a specific act of hafrasha, it would appear that you're potter. Rabbi Eliezer is a big mechadesh there, that a pidyon petach hamor, even though it's an act of hafrasha, there's an act of pidyon of the petach hamor, nonetheless, in other words, that takes place before you give it to the Kohen, that you've in effect exempted the hamor from arifa. But putting aside Shitas Rabbi Lezer, I think that in all likelihood, if you are chayiv in the Reisha Sagez, if you're chayiv b'achriyuso, it means there's no hafrasha. If you're potter b'achriyuso, that expression I don't think ever exists, it's eno chayiv b'achriyuso. If you're not chayiv, it's hafayis. So then, obviously, it's because there is a hafrasha. So that would be a litmus test for Tosafos' claim. What does the Tosaf have to say, by the way? Daniel? Do you remember? You guys saw the Tosefta, right?
Yeah.
So you have in front of you, what does it say? Chai Bachar Yusa. What? What is read the Tosefta Yehuda? That's fine. So if you're mafrish, hamafrish gaze, you know, reishis hagaz, or what gaze tono, the avad, chay v'achru yuso. So it knows he does have frasha, but doesn't it may not mean anything. So that is the claim that Tosus makes. Okay. So the one question that's going to be up in the air, and I don't know if I'll be able to find the answer to, is what about takfo kohen? Last thought on this particular issue, but I think we've laid it out pretty clearly. Last thought is the Rambam, and then Chaim, I'll try to sum up. Okay, what does the Rambam say? Bring your Rambam. The Rambam is a little bit harder to gauge, but I think it's still clear. He writes, "Hayatzemesh shalahen adom o shachar o shachum chayavas breish lagez." If it's naturally colored wool, it's very interesting. I wonder. I guess black wool, no matter how much you wear on it, it probably stays black. Now, does anyone know? If you don't dye it, if it's natural to the sheep itself, probably. So
black wool, if you malabin it, that doesn't mean it turns white.
Yes. What's that?
That's because they're shorn every once in a while.
Yeah, that's because they're yes. Well, that's because they're shorn. It's also because it regenerates.
But it's natural color. Why would it turn white?
There are sheep that have black wool.
Guys, I value reality, but this is going too far. Okay. So anyway, avalim gazas atzemer utzvo kodem sheyitain nifta mereishis hageis.
Of course, then the Rambam throws
okay. If he
purple.
Shears the sheep and dyes it before he gives, he's pata mereishis hageis. He'll be no kodem sheyitain chayev lafrish achar shelibno. He's still chayev to separate because the bleaching is not considered a shinoi. The language. What is the language that the Rambam suggests?
Chayev lafrish, he says. It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't mean to say legal.
Well, the first line. Yeah, we could debate. I don't think the Rambam is black and white, but I think avalam gozas hatzemer utzva o kodem shiite nifta mereishis hageis. In other words, if he sheared the wool, shear the sheep, but okay, if he cut the wool and he dyed it before he gives. He doesn't say he's a nifta mereishis hageis. That's kodem shiitein. He doesn't say kodem sheyitain, no, the way the Mishnah does. He says kodem sheyitain, before you give understood wool to the Kohen. It sounds from the Rambam as if you're dying even the wool before you do Afrasha. So yeah, Ben does point out to me that he'll be no kodem sheyitain, chayev l'hafrasha achar shelibno. But I don't think he means chayev l'hafrasha in the sense of Afrasha, it means you're chayev litain. You still have to give. So I don't know, I thought that the Rambam probably holds, the Rambam probably holds like Tosus. And does anybody, did people agree or disagree with my reading when they first read it? Does anybody agree with my reading? Does anybody disagree with my reading? That was an agreement? Okay, good. Somebody agrees with me. Anyway, so I think the Rambam probably holds like Shita Satosus. Again, the Nosei Kalim don't say anything. That would have been, you know, the one hope for them to comment on it, but it's not, the Rambam doesn't spell it out because it's not spelled out in the Gemara. So basically, it's left somewhat ambiguous. In sum, very brief summary, we looked at the statement of Rabba that Shinoi is Ksiva, Shinoi Kona Ksiva Tanina. The Pasuk was Veshiva Sagzela Asher Gazal. The Tanina is either the Mishnah of Kal Gazlana Mashalman Kishas Sagzela, Gozalitza Lason Kalim, or the Gemara quote is the second possibility, our Mishnah in Chulin, it's now our Mishnah, of Lohispik Litmalash Etzva was Pater, and here you have a Machlokas Harishonim Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not that refers to dyeing the entire clump of wool or dyeing specifically the Reishis Hagez. The Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on the immediate level seems to boil down to the question of whether or not there is a notion of Hafrasha Legabe Reishis Hagez, and among the potential Nafgaminas, though they might not all come together, you know, you might hold one way and one on the other, is a chiyuv in reishis hagei, is a chiyuv if the wool got destroyed, the potential of whether or not you're kone it as a gazlan. Another question would be whether takfo kohen, which we assume certainly is a davar pasha, doesn't work when it's all of the wool. When it's a separated part of the wool, then perhaps the hafrasha should at least work for that. And finally, we suggest that perhaps the machlokas Rashi and Tosus itself may be based upon their larger seeming machlokas by Shinui Kona. Rashi's understanding of Shinui Kona seems to be the question of whether or not you will motzei et mishras ba'alim through the shinoi. The act of shinoi is kind of a secondary act of gezeila, if you want to call it, which removes it from the mishras ba'alim and brings it into the mishras of the ganav. According to Tosfos, however, the notion, and according to Rashi, therefore, it is inconceivable that a shinoi in a situation where something is yours fully already, namely when you have the wool before you mafresh anything, that shinoi can be kona at that point because it's yours already. So you can't be kona that which you already own, and therefore, according to Rashi, it must be the reishis hagez, the part that you've separated already that now is mamon shevet kahuna, in which case shinoi can be kona that as a gazdan. Or is according to Tosfos that the concept of shinoi kona is simply that when you're Mishana, if the original object is no longer here, therefore you can't fulfill Veshivas HaGzeilah Kein Shgazal, rather you just pay Damim. In the context of Estanzona and in the context here of Veshivas HaGez, it's possible that when you dye the wool, it's no longer Gez Tzonch anymore, it's something else, and therefore Memela, you can't actually fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to give anything to the Kohen. Okay.
Sorry if I was a little precocious.
Tomorrow is Bikias, yes.
Even Rishagay tends to have to be exciting. So yeah.